John chapter 1 and then Colossians 4. Okay, John 1 and then Colossians 4. Okie doke. Seven times in the Bible refers to the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Word of God, and it's an uppercase W when you find that. You find that seven times. John 1:1, John 1:14, that's the one we're going to read and following. So when it's an uppercase W, that's what we call flesh and blood Word of God, and when it's a lowercase W, that's pen or ink and paper Word of God. They are very closely aligned. Obviously, we know a slight difference. But John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. We, Peter, James, John, the apostles, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Okay, so there's the parentheses. Go back to the sentence. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Okay, the Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Okay, now in Colossians 4, verse 2. Full of grace and truth. Those are opposite terms. Full of grace and truth. Colossians 4 verse 2, it says, Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which for which I am also in bonds. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. The salt portion would be truth, grace and truth, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask You to help us to understand this passage. Help us to see that You are full of grace and truth. Help us to get the balance and to follow Your leading and to follow Your wisdom. Get Your wisdom to know when to have grace and truth with our words. And help us to be faithful to You in this matter. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, those two terms are opposite terms. The Bible has a lot of oxymorons like this. And full of grace and truth, in Psalms it mentions strength and beauty. Strength and beauty, they often are two different things, two opposite things. What gives this building strength would be the steel structure, but that's not beautiful. Okay, so you put the beauty on the outside and cover it up. The strength is with inside, but it's one and the same, strength and beauty. You can't build it with all drywall and think it's going to be strong. Okay, so Jesus is full of grace and truth. Those are opposite terms. Grace, mercy, forgiveness. Truth, holiness, justice. Those are opposite terms. And a person has to try to get the balance of those two terms. Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Now, if you get in a discussion with people, and almost always this takes place, that when your discussion, when you mention the Lord Jesus or heaven or anything like this, the discussion always turns toward religion. And that what you need to do is you need to get it off of religion and back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. Religion is not. Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. Now, those two terms, okay, often you'll have different factions of people. During the Lord's day, you had the Pharisees on one side. We would say they would be ultra-conservatives. On the other side, Herodians, the Herod followers, we would say that's ultra-liberals. The news media only says extremist right, never on the left, but you got them both. Okay, so if you look at the two factions, you see the same thing, very similar thing in the Bible world where you have Bible believers. Okay, then you have fundamentalists or evangelical or liberals on that side. Now, looking at it from the political aspect or just in thinking aspect of life, you have the conservatives on one side and the liberals on another side. Now, that term in politics has really been tainted. The conservatives of today are liberals of the 60s. And the liberals of today are the Marxist, communist, fascist of the past. But let's still use those two terms, and here's the arguments that they have. A conservative often errs on the side of truth. A liberal errs on the side of grace. Okay, the conservatives will say God is holy and just. What do the liberals say? He's love and forgiving. You know, and there's, you know, one kid, he was talking that conversation last night, he was tripping out on some drug. I have no idea what he's talking about. And he said, boy, when I was tripping out of that, I could look at everybody in a whole new light and I could just love everybody. Yeah, you probably could. Yeah, he was just amazed with it. And after you left, I went and talked to him a little bit more. I said, you know, I had an aspirin a long time ago that, you know, that really got me going. You know? Okay, so that's the conservative liberal. Okay, on the conservative side, they will place principles or beliefs above people. On the liberal side, their broad viewpoint of rules where you can stretch it as far as you want just as long as you maintain the people. They'll compromise for any situation. On the conservative side, they will focus on truth and justice. On the liberal side, they will focus upon forgiveness and love. On the conservative side, they are willing to lose people over matters of principle. On the liberal side, they will compromise anything goes in order to maintain people. In the church structure, on the conservative side, they're more concerned about offending God. On the liberal side, they're more concerned about offending man. You see, and that's the two factions. Now, in the raising of children, the conservative side would be your strict disciplinarian, and on the liberal side would be your permissive love parent. Okay, where if you have on this side, if a kid is raised like that, he will think the world owes him a living. We call it entitlements. On this side, the strict disciplinarian, he will raise a child who thinks the entire world is against him. Those are the extremes on both sides. The Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Now, both sides will have arguments against each other, and both sides' arguments are correct. But they are both hypocrites. Both sides. Now, we'll look at the Lord Jesus Christ first off. I want to give you some thoughts about a perfect balance. The Lord Jesus Christ balances perfectly grace and truth. Salvation is offered at Calvary as a result of Calvary. What happened at Calvary that day? On the conservative side, because of man's sin, there must be holiness and justice. On the liberal side, there must be forgive and love and forgiveness, because that's the way it should be. On Calvary, God established the punishment for sin as death, holiness and justice, but his Son, Jesus Christ, paid the price. There's the love. It's put together at the same place. Now, if you look at the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would look in Luke chapter 4, verse 23. Verse 22, Jesus is delivering a message in a Jewish synagogue. Okay, and so he found a scroll of Isaiah. He's opened it up, read a portion of it, closed it. And then in Luke 4, verse 22, it says this about Jesus Christ. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth. gracious words, full of grace and truth. And the average Christian today sitting in the average church, oh, if Jesus was my pastor, you'd run him out of the church. Full of grace and truth. Revelation 3:20, he is outside the church, knocking, hoping somebody's going to open the door, let him in. There's the grace side. Where's the truth side of Jesus Christ? Luke 4, verse 25. But I tell you a truth, full of grace and truth. In verse 22, the average person reads that and says, oh, he's got such gracious words. So gracious, by the verse 29, they want to throw him over a cliff. Why? He gave the truth. Reminds you of the verse in Galatians, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? Now, Jesus did not even say the magical word here. He implied it. He implied two Gentiles that got an answer to prayer. Saying Gentiles to a Jew is like offering a pork burger at a bar mitzvah. I mean, it just doesn't go. So there's the gracious side. What about the truth side of Jesus Christ? And if you would, look at Matthew 22. Remember, the liberal faction, they're going to look over at the conservative side and they're going to say, you don't have love. Matthew 22, verse 16. Let's look at the liberal side's accusation against Jesus Christ. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians. There's the liberal faction. In verse 15, there's the conservative faction. They're teaming together against Jesus Christ. So actually, if you're going to look at some real-life experiments, when you got liberals and conservatives against you, you must be hitting it right. You must be hitting it right on. So here, what's the liberals going to say about Jesus? Saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. See, there's their complaint. Oh, we see that you're principled over people. You're going to tell the truth. You don't care what anybody thinks. And so you're just going to tell the truth. Yeah, that's their side. You see, they're just the same. It's just that they won't admit it. The hypocrisy reigns supreme on their side. John chapter 8, verse 40, Jesus Christ said this, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. What happened to their love? I always love these drive-by shootings out street preaching where a guy yells at you and then he keeps walking. Don't come back. Had one of those last night. Where's your love? Where's your love? And I went, I feel your love. Oh yeah, he was yelling at me. I just felt it right here. And the same guy, he did come back and start talking and talking to Brother Lawson for a while. And then he made a statement I just couldn't resist. I stood there and was just kind of listening. He said, you can't prove anything in that Bible scientifically. And I couldn't resist. I walked over and said, oh, yes, I can. Proverbs that says that the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. Let's experiment. He took off after that, and the other guy started laughing. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, we'll wring that nose and watch blood out. There's scientific experiment. Wonderful experiment. He didn't want to hear that experiment. You see, he was so narrow-minded, he didn't want to even read a Bible. But you see, what's he on? He's on the liberal side. Forget truth. Oh, he just love everybody. Love, love, love. He didn't love me. He was quite angry at us. You see, so Jesus said, now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. There's the hypocrisy. Now the Lord Jesus Christ balances perfectly grace and truth. Okay, for you and I, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, empowers the believer to balance grace and truth. Now it's tough to stay on balance, but he's the one that will guide us to help us stay on balance. It's the Spirit of God who knows the inner heart. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously his advantage of dealing with people versus us is he can read the heart. We can't. Now, with experience, you can discern the spirit of people if they're going to be a smart aleck or if they're really trying to search it out. You can do that. You can discern that. It's a gift of discernment. But even at that, what is it going to take to get this person to consider the Lord? Okay, if you would, look in Ephesians chapter 4. Here's our balanced witness. You'll find it in Ephesians because this book, this letter, deals with the fullness of the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, the gracious side, Ephesians 4, verse 29. And then the truth side is Ephesians 6, verse 17. The sword of the Spirit. Okay, Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's the grace side. The truth side is the sword of the Spirit in chapter 6, verse 17. Okay, these truth side, Acts 4, 31, where we get filled with the Spirit, we can proclaim the Word of God boldly. The grace side is when that individual comes up and talks to you individually, and you're trying to answer his or her simple questions. See, that's the grace side. And we got to pray for wisdom of that, because Colossians chapter 4 says we pray for that in verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. There's the truth side. Grace and truth, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. It's the Spirit of God that knows that individual. He's the one that knows their heart. And so often what I've learned that what he does is he gets you and I in a certain mood to deal with that individual, whether we get feisty or whether we're just very calm, okay, or very relaxed. Last Wednesday, just Jan and I went out down to Rensselaer, just a little podunk Rensselaer, you know, at a stoplight, and a young man walked up to me when we were about done and just started asking quite very respectful. He'd been trying to search. He's been searching. He started asking questions and questions and questions. And then we was heading to church, and I said, man, we're going to go to Bible study over here. It's about a mile away. You know, if you got to go back to work or whatever. He said, no, I think I'm going to go. So he came to church that night and ask more questions. And he was so inquisitive, we had him come over to the house. He stayed the night. We stayed up till 11 o'clock asking questions and questions, trying to figure these things out. Okay, but then you got others who are just going to ask you questions just to try to trip you up. You see? And so you try to answer those questions because you don't understand. One young fellow last night was talking to me about, do you get kind of results? I said, well, he said, what kind of results you get? I said, we get all kinds. We get Hail Satan. We get, the finger. We get all sorts of times. People yelling, mad. I said, does that bother you? No, the mad, what you're trying to do, if they're angry, that shows they care. You're trying to channel that anger toward the Lord Jesus Christ instead of rebelling against God. Rebel against the world system. Man, they're the one that hates you, not God. It's the passive ones that you're concerned about. The real passive people just, nothing goes on. You see, grace and truth. Now, the liberal side of the view, they take it to such extremes. The liberal side says that your eternity in heaven is conditioned upon your treatment of your fellow man. That's how far they take it. What they do is they take Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46, in that passage, and they take that judgment there where somebody is treating the righteous, they're visiting them, they're clothing them, they're helping them, they're visiting the righteous, And the ones who do that, at this judgment, the Lord takes them and puts them on his right side. They become sheep. And the ones who take advantage of the righteous people and don't visit them and steal from all, they're the goats. They're put on the left side. And then the goats are thrown into hell. And the sheep go into the millennial kingdom. Now, these people will take that judgment and apply it to salvation. And that's a misapplication. Total misapplication. But what they're doing is they want you and I to be nice to them so that they can get away with doing what they want to do without us bothering them. That's the intention. You see, and so that's done to extreme. Now, it's gone to the point now where they want you and I to tolerate the homosexuals. Okay, if it's the definition of toleration, okay, I could understand that. But they don't tolerate me. Now, when the media says to tolerate the gays, what they mean is you and I have to give them special privileges and adoration. That's what they mean. And I ain't buying into that. You see, and so if they don't tolerate us, why should we tolerate them? But religion, now religion claims to promote goodness to your fellow man. But yet religion turns around and is the greatest persecutor of somebody who confronts them. Jesus Christ summarized the Old Testament in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Wonderful, great summary where he said, we call this the golden rule. And it says this, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now the problem with that statement is that people don't know how other people want to be treated. Most men will treat their wife like a man thinks. And they can't figure out why they don't get it. You know? We're different. And so this way we got to dwell with them according to knowledge. When he just talks straight and plain to them and then she starts crying, I don't get it. Can't you say it with some grace? You know, where's the grace? You see, and we don't get that. A lot of men don't get that. And a wife can't take that. You see, and you see, it's grace and truth. There's a book that's written, The Five Love Languages. And it's a psychologist that writes it, but once in a while they get it right. But he basically shows you five different ways that people receive a compliments or love. Some do it in this way, some like it in this way, some like it in that way. That's very important to know. Men don't understand the emotions of a lady. And she don't understand his insanity. She don't. God made us to compliment each other. But we have to learn to understand through grace what people are feeling in emotions. Jesus, the conservative and Bible believers often purposely offend people. Do it on purpose. And street preachers and often Bible believers often get hard and harsh. And I understand why, because, man, you take a lot of abuse. But some of the mistreatment of Bible believers is justifiable. Because they're flat jerks. Okay, and the thing is Jesus Christ said this in Matthew 10 to his disciples, I am sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And so you got to learn to smile and relax and laugh at the jokes people make fun of you when you're trying to witness to them. They are funny. And you need to laugh at that. And you see, and when you laugh at that, they will respect you. If you get mad, oh man, that's like putting gas on a fire. They love it. And so you just got to relax. It's not you that they hate, it's God. That's who they're mad at. They're mad at God. And so we got to recognize there's a good balance, and the Spirit of God is the one that will guide us. Give us wisdom so that we can have full of grace and truth. Now, granted, we're going to be on this side, we're going to be on that side. To stay on balance is a tough thing to do. It's the Spirit of God that helps us. Okay, now example. Thought number three. One should treat the differences of people's beliefs the same way you treat the differences of taste that people have. Okay? If somebody don't like this food that you like, you know, do we go off in them? Stinking liberal. You don't like broccoli? Jerk. It's green. Come on. You like money. It's green. Why don't you like superfood? What's wrong with superfood? It's good sprinkled on salad. You know? What's your problem? That's how people are with beliefs. Okay, in Job chapter 12, verse 11. Job, in the book of Job, this is used three times. Okay, three times this is used. I was talking to three young fellows. Two claim to be Christian, one Catholic. And we were just chatting about things. You know, they were asking, you know, how things were going. And I said, fine, all that hunky-dory fan stuff. And, you know, and do you get some results? I said, oh, we always get results. Always do. And so, you know, and they said, well, what's your approach? I said, well, I have a bunch of teachers out here. I'm trying to figure out why they believe what they believe. And if I get the opportunity, I like to tell them what I believe. You got your freedom, I got mine. So we got talking about evolution. He said, you know, I just don't get that Adam and Eve thing. I said, so it makes more sense to you that all these people came from an amoeba than two people? He actually said, yeah. Are you serious? You know, I was trying to think. I was trying to wrap my head around it. I didn't say that to, are you serious? I just, okay. He has been brainwashed big time at Purdue University. And I'm trying to figure that out. And so a lot of times when you deal with these people, you can lose a battle because you're trying to win a war. And so in Job chapter 12, words or thoughts or beliefs to the mind is like food to the mouth. Job 12, verse 11. Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? Why is there certain foods you don't like and I do? Why is there some foods that I like and you don't? We just got different taste. You know, we don't walk around, I can't believe you don't like this broccoli. You know, a mom can say that to her kid, you need to eat that broccoli. Okay, I can't believe you drink coffee. Stinks. Some of it smells good, but it tastes horrible. Coffee is good for an enema. I am dead serious. There is a health method. You put coffee in an enema bag, and it gets it working. You can drink it after that. Now, if somebody drinks coffee in front of me, I'm not going to sit there. I can't believe you drink that stuff. No, I'm not going to say that. Drink it. I don't care. Put cream and sugar and sugar and sugar and more sugar and sugar and a bunch of sugar. You know, drink it. That's your choice. You know, and the thing is, you know, we have different tastes. I can't believe you eat at McDonald's. Supporting liberal Democrats. That's what you're doing? I don't care if you go to McDonald's. It doesn't bother me. Why? It's your taste, my taste. You know, I think I ate at McDonald's probably a year or two ago, and I thought, ooh, this stuff's horrible. But, you know, that was just... But each of us have different tastes. Now, I'll tell you what Christians do. If you got 10 beliefs, and your brother in Christ believes 9 of them, you know what the conservatives are going to do? Got to argue about the one. Okay, I'm going to make my big, bold stand. Make your big, bold stand. Argue about one. You're like a person that goes to somebody's house and they prepared a 10-course meal, 10 different items, and you didn't like one and you griped about it. I would take the one item and stick it in your ear. You see, the thing is, that's immaturity. It reveals either immaturity, self-righteousness, ingratitude, or just a lack of brains. Now, granted, yeah, individually, if I notice something, I can notice it in my heart. If somebody if somebody asks, okay, this is what I did notice a flaw in that. I don't go along with that. But I'm not going to run down the pulpit after somebody makes these statements and get in their face and say, you were wrong here. I'm going to accept the truth and enjoy what they gave me. You see, 9 out of 10 ain't bad. In fact, in basketball, that's a good free throw shooter. 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10 in bowling is not that good. But you see, the thing is having a balance. Several years ago, first time I had Sam Gipp come around, I learned that Sam Gipp hates liver and peas. I learned he hated them. I heard him preach about it. And so we were going to take him to Devon's restaurant, and I had planned this out, and this was a joke I was playing on him. So I took liver and peas and got a plate from Devon's. I went there early that day, got this plate, brought it home, you know, threw some liver on a frying pan just to get it dark, you know, threw some peas on there raw and everything. So then I went to the waitress and I said, if you would put this menu, I had a menu, I made a whole menu up, put it inside the Devon's menu. So I thought it was special. Peas and liver, peas soup and liver drink and pea drink. I had about 30 items. And then at the bottom, barf bag, you know, and all that stuff. And so then I asked her that when you give everybody their food, give him his last. And she hammed it up. Oh, she was masterful. And so he thought the joke ended at the menu. He thought that was the end of the joke. And then she brought that and said it. He about lost it. He told me he's used that illustration several times. He's about lost his appetite. It just really got him. Now, if I'm going to have Sam come to our house, I am not going to feed him liver and peas. I hate liver. I agree with him on that one. Peas I can handle. Okay, but I'm not going to sit there and fuss with him about that. In fact, Sam Gipp has a lot of health troubles. I, one time, graciously offered some advice, you know, some suggestions that I got. He rejected it. Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to fuss with him about it. That's his choice. It says in Romans, for meat destroy not the work of God. You see, we should treat our differences of beliefs like we treat differences of taste. Treatment of others by Paul. If you would look in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Paul tells us how to treat other people. Romans 12, 13, and 14. There are spiritual gifts that's given to the believer to help us to learn how to influence people for God. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor. Look at that. In honor, preferring one another. I have a firm conviction that I give up my preferences for other people. That's just being gracious towards others. If they don't like it, okay, that's fine. You know, and so that's just the Bible. That's just good etiquette. People say, well, they're wrong. Are you going to be judged for somebody else's wrong? Let them deal with it. Big deal. It doesn't matter. The thing is 9 out of 10 ain't bad. 8 out of 10 ain't bad. 7 out of 10 ain't bad. I remember years ago, there was this Christian guy in a jail, and we were talking about some things, and he introduced me to this witch. I had a better conversation with the witch than I did with the Christian. He was more logical. And eventually he made a profession of faith. The Christian was just, he was trying to use God as a big bellboy to get me out of jail. At least the witch knew that he had this coming to him. You see, and the thing is, how do we treat people? Romans 12, verse 16, be of the same mind one to another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. How about that one? Most people's friends are of their same equal social status, like we have a caste system. What about somebody that's lower than you in your mindset? You ought to befriend them. We had a fellow down in Rensselaer for years, and the average person would look at him and say, ew. Charles Hood. Charles had strong medication. He sounded drunk all the time. But it was his medication. Why? Because he's an epileptic. And people just, they would just, oh. And I take it, he want to go out knocking on doors. And I have to be honest with you, in my heart, oh, Charles, you know. But people were so impatient with him, but if they would sit down and listen to him, he knew the Bible very well. And the problem is he would stump these people. Condescend a man of low estate. He is certainly of high estate in these days. Charles Hood. One time we were, if I was hanging around him a lot, I could start talking like him. And one time I said, hey, Charles, how's this? If he'd ask him a question, he'd go, okay. And so one time I said, Charles, how's this sound? Okay. And he goes, okay. But you see, a lot of people don't want somebody like them around. Well, it's below them. You need to find somebody who poor as a church mouse and be a friend to him. Care for him. Help him out. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. Condescend of men of low estate. You see, and so in Romans 14 deals with personal preferences and how you and I respond to people. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. I remember somebody, big time famous Christian, used to mock this other preacher because he was divorced. He shouldn't be in the ministry. Until divorce knocked on his house. That's a hard way to learn a lesson. When that knocks on his door, in his children, in his family. Whole different ballgame. Boy, there's different ways to get people to think about stuff. And God has his way. So how should we be? We ask the Spirit of God to guide us. We ask him for wisdom. In Colossians chapter 4, it says, pray. Okay, so when we're dealing with people and friends and family and church members, continue in prayer and watch. Watch. And the same with thanksgiving. And pray for an open door. And then when we get that open door, pray that God gives us the right words. This young man last night, fine young fella, he's a Campus Crusade kid. He knew nothing of the King James issue. I didn't bring it up. Lydia happened to talk to him, and he got asking questions about it. Just a fine young man. And he just said to me off the cuff, he said, I just don't feel like I'm capable to witness the best I can out here. I said, if you're willing, that's all that matters. If you're willing and you pray for the right words at the right time with the right spirit to the right person, the Lord will help you. And that was a big help. I think it was a help to him, a blessing to him, and he's going to go home and search that thing out as far as the Bible issue. You see? And that's all the Lord wants us. He says in verse 6 of Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace. There's the grace side. Seasoned with salt. There's the truth side. A balance. Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. That ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Oh, may the Spirit of God help us to be that. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be like the Lord Jesus. Full of grace and truth. And obviously, we're going to miss it. We're going to be overbalanced on one side or another sometime. And yes, you were full of grace and truth, even when you declared that very hard message to those Pharisees in Matthew 23. Still full of grace and truth. And you really accented the side of truth on that. And you went when you dealt with that woman at the well, boy, there was some grace in action. But yet you did mention the truth. You seasoned it with salt. And Lord, please help us, each and every one of us, to be the right kind of mouthpiece for thee, to be full of grace and truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we'll be dismissed.